Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I think this is a rather serious question as much as the problems inside the Anchorage area office have been rather intense. And I'm certainly hoping that in the absence of that bill, that there was some funding provided to take care of those rush periods when they were attempting to handle the money and get license plates out on some outdated type cash registers and that sort of thing. But it does directly affect, the two problems are very much interrelated, and I think that we had assumed, at least some of us, that part of the problem was solved by the rescheduling of these license due dates, the staggered dates that have been in the bill that we passed. With the passage of that bill, my concerns over whether or not additional monies were provided in the budget were allayed, and I didn't follow through on it. Thank you.
Mr. Greening?
Well, the beauty of this is it should not require additional money. It should save money.
Yeah, Mr. Minority Leader?
Mr. Speaker, I understand that. But without the bill, have we provided fully? In other words, it's more expensive to operate in there without the staggered system.
Mr. Malone?
Well, responding to the Minority Leader's question, there was some reduction in the House budget, minor one in the overtime area. Contemplating the passage of House Bill 525, at the time, of course, the item was considered by the free conference committees on the budget. That bill had not seen the light of day in the Senate, so the funding was restored.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall Amendment Number 3 by Mr. Greening be adopted? As many as are in favor, say aye.
Aye.
As opposed, say nay.
No.
The ayes have it, and the amendment is adopted. I meant to look to see if Mr. Hubert was voting. Clerk, please read Amendment Number 4.
Amendment Number 4 by Mr. Brown. Page 10, lines 18 through 25. Delete all of Section 17 and renumber following sections accordingly.
Mr. Speaker, Brown?
I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Objection is noted. Mr. Brown?
Mr. Speaker, as the members of the Judiciary Committee know, we've had some bills before the Judiciary Committee that would do certain things about limiting the liability of the state, and we have not looked with favor on them. This section probably has a good intention in that if someone is carrying on a special event pursuant to this subsection, then perhaps they should be liable, not the state. But we're in the waning days and hours of a session, and I don't think that we're likely to get an awful lot of good committee markup on this section. I'm afraid that as written, it is far too broad and could be used in a situation where the state might well or probably should, as a matter of equity, be liable. For that reason, I oppose it. If it were earlier in the session, I'd try to get the gray cells going and come up with a markup or a rewrite on it. But as it stands now, I think it's far too broad, and I think it ought to be deleted, since it was indicated by the chairman of the State Affairs Committee that these were the uncontroversial proposed changes to Title 28. I don't think this is uncontroversial.
Mr. Chairman McKinnon.
Mr. Speaker, as it says, it's amending the section to read, the current law already provides exemption from liability for the state for special use of highways. All this does is that it extends that to a new classification, which is called a vehicular way or area. And that is being, or will be defined under regulations. And as I understand it, it's basically a parking lot. And so there's no great change in the concept of what the law does. It's just extending it to cover a new area that will be defined by regulation under 2835-265.
Mr. Brown.
Mr. Speaker, even if I have reread this improperly read the section, I still feel that the section should be deleted because it does, in any case, expand an area of a statute that limits the liability of the state. As a matter of policy, I do not favor those. I think that they are a piece of ancient trash that comes out of the privilege of English kings, and I have never been in favor of the concept of sovereign liability. The board of directors of General Motors cannot say that General Motors is not liable for what it does wrong, and I don't think the legislature ought to say that the state is not liable for what it does wrong under the pretense of what an English king did or the great pages of history of our law. And I do not favor any expansion of the limitation of the liability of the state of Alaska.
Mr. Chairman Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't know what about the English kings, but the this just extends the current law to parking lots, and if Mr. Brown's amendment repealed 4480070, it might have an argument behind it, but I don't think it does. Now I urge a rejection of the amendment.
Are you ready for the question, Mr. Guy? Very brief, please. House, come back to order. Are you ready for the question?
Question.
The question is, shall amendment number 4 by Mr. Brown be adopted? As many as in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay.
No.
Roll call. the amendment is defeated.
Henry II is still alive and well.
Clerk, please read amendment number 5.
Amendment number 5 by Mr. Specking. You don't have a page. Page 9, line 5. Strike overweight. Line 6, strike all material. Line 7, strike all of sentence. Line 5, after violations, add overweight penalties shall be established by regulation.
Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent for adoption of amendment number 5.
No. Objection is noted. Mr. Specking.
Mr. Speaker, it's my view that those overweight penalties really should not be fixed firmly in concrete, but rather should be the result of regulations promulgated by the department. It appears that we could well want them to change along with other inflationary changes that occur. For that reason, I believe that we could better protect the interests of the public by having the capability of making a change without some sort of legislative effort. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Brown?
Mr. Speaker, since the Minority Leader is very concerned about putting a definite amount in the statutes that would not be subject to automatic changes for inflation, I wonder if he'd be interested in doing the same thing for, say, the Alaska state income tax.
Mr. Parker and Mr. Hershberger.
Mr. Speaker, I wonder where the maker of the amendment was when we were arguing about mechanized justice.
Mr. Hershberger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The reference is to raising the overweight penalty from a nickel up, and I'd like to remind the body, what can you get for a nickel these days?
Are you ready for the... Mr. Chairman Parker. Stand at ease. House, come back to order. Mr. Swanson. Greening, then Mr. Speaking.
I oppose the amendment for the reason that I don't think we, anywhere in Alaska do we, I may be corrected on this, as a matter of penalty, allow an administrative adoption of penalties. I know we do it for licensing, permit fees, but for a penalty, which is, or a fine, allowing an administrative agency to vary it at will, seems to me a rather dangerous precedent.
Mr. Speaker.
I think we've done this in the past, and it would appear to me that the amendment would speak well, or that Mr. Swanson's remarks would speak well for an amendment, because we would then be able to raise these without waiting for legislative action. I'm sure that we wouldn't start at any less than the 5-cent period by regulation. But the real problem is that the lengthy portion of time that it takes when we find that we need to come up to scale is just out of reason, and that it could be done more effectively by regulation than it could be by statute.
Mr. Anderson. Madam Clerk, can that be done to be read in context? Portion of it is striking sentences. It makes it a little bit hard to read the struck out portion in context.
E. In addition to the other provisions of this section, the department may initiate a civil action against a driver or owner of a vehicle in matters pertaining to violations. Overweight penalties shall be established by regulation.
Are you ready for the question?
Point of order.
Mr. Smith?
I don't believe that was properly read in context. The amendment, as I understood it, was to strike the last overweight, not the first one.
Okay, that was.
Line 5, strike overweight. Are you ready for the question? As many as are in favor of amendment number 5, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Amendment fails. Madam Clerk, are there further amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Gardner?
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 26 be engrossed advanced third reading and placed on final passage.
Gardner moves and asks unanimous consent that House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 26 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading and placed on final passage. Is there opposition? If not, it's advanced to third final. It's advanced to third reading. Will the clerk please read it for the third and final time?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 26 by the State Affairs Committee, an act relating to motor vehicles and providing for an effective date.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 26 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may take the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Mr. Brown? Does any other member wish to change his vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Yeas, 1 nay, 4 excused.
So House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 26 has passed the House. Mr. Gardner?
Mr. Speaker, I move unanimous consent that the roll call on final passage of Senate Bill 26 be considered as a roll call on the effective date.
Mr. Gardner asks unanimous consent for the roll call, that the roll call on Senate Bill 26 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause. Is there opposition? Hearing none, so ordered. Read the next item on the calendar.
Committee Substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 101 by the Resources Committee, relating to the study of alternative oil and gas leasing and taxing policies. Committee on Rules has had committee substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution 101 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parker, Chairman, concurred in by Parker, Miller, Cotton, and Naughton. Specking signed do not pass. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Committee substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution number 101 is before you. Is there any debate? Ready for the question? As many as are in favor of committee's... Excuse me, Mr. Hoggins. Someone may respond. Mr. Finance Chairman. Mr. Swanson. Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I would presume, since nobody's mentioned a fiscal note, that it would be necessary that any expenditures within this would have to come within the current budget for the Legislative Council, unless there somebody has a fiscal note for the resolution. I don't know exactly what I did 4 months ago, what the council requests were, but I'm not quite sure what will be in the budget in that regard. But I guess I just have to assume that that's the case. I don't know what level has been included for studies or for contractual services, but that seems to be the only conclusion that could be drawn.
Mr. Malone, and then Mr. Swanson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First, in answer to Mr. Swanson's question there, the resolution, the resolve clause, states that the Council's request to undertake in cooperation with the governor comprehensive and definite study recommendations for long-term oil and gas leasing and taxing. The reason for this is that the legislature proceeded with some work in the last interim, and at the convening of this legislative session, we found that at that point we had to wait for the administration to begin to go over the same ground. Hopefully, two branches working together, they can come up with a policy that you know, is acceptable to both and will result in some public benefit to the state. So it is a different sort of approach than was taken last year. Secondly, I'd like to say my question on the cost was a serious one, because I have not seen a fiscal note on the resolution. I know there must be one connected to it, and I suppose in that case, it probably was considered in the Senate, but I just wanted to know if someone did have, in fact, a fiscal note that had been considered along with the resolution. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Minority.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I signed the committee report do not pass simply because of last year's fiasco and what I considered an inordinate waste of money. And appear to me that in the absence of some special funding, there isn't a whole lot of meaning to the thing, and it's my recommendation to just simply vote against it. Thank you.
Mr. Bradley, are you seeking the floor?
Ms. Speaker, just parliamentary inquiry. If by chance this concurrent resolution went down, can it be reconsidered?
Can be reconsidered.
Thank you.
That's correct. Mr. Chairman Malone.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, it's not impossible for the Conference Committee on the Budget to construct a fiscal note for an item of legislation. I was just asking that as a matter of information. On the resolution itself, I suggest that it not be voted down. There have been some unfavorable remarks on the study that was conducted during the last interim. I think there was a great deal of information assembled. A lot of things were considered that have never been considered before in the history of the state, and I think the executive branch is beginning to also consider these items of information, and I think it's a continuation that is in the interest of the state. If the state spends a few hundred thousand dollars on studies, that in the long run is going to affect millions of dollars worth of revenue, and beyond that, considerable impact on the whole society of our state, I think it's money well spent, Mr. Speaker, and at any rate, on the resolution, I would urge the House to adopt it.
Chair, I would observe that on line 23, it does indicate that the study would be undertaken in cooperation with the governor. The assumption would be that perhaps some of the governor's study funds would be available for that. Mr. Hackney?
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that this be set over one legislative day. And if I might finish my... And that a fiscal note be constructed so we know what the hell we're voting on.
Your motion is noted. Objection is also noted. Mr. Swanson? State your point of order. I'm assuming that Mr. Swanson is going to speak. His remarks will be relative to the motion to postpone for a day. I'm aware of the motion. I'm aware of the motion. The chair wants to give the widest possible latitude in debate. The motion before us is whether to hold the thing hold this thing over for one more.
Speaker.
Mr. Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At this stage in the session, I would hesitate to hold the resolution over. I would urge the House to defeat the motion to postpone action on this resolution.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, Mr. Eliason.
The question was posed a moment ago. This is a tube that we could reconsider. Of course, if it's passed, it still could be reconsidered. It'll still be held over tomorrow, right?
That's exactly true. The question is, shall the... Yes, sir, Mr. Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, just a question. As I understand, this is a committee substitute for Senate bill. This is not a House committee substitute.
This is a Senate committee substitute, yes, sir.
Therefore, it's not a thing that we're talking about amending and sending back. It would be no problem to consider it tomorrow, would it? I see no reason. I'd feel a little easier about it if I had some idea of what it's going to cost.
We have two alternatives. We could pass it now and somebody can reconsider, or we can, of course, hold it over till tomorrow. That's an option that's always available. The question before us is whether to hold it over till, I'm assuming the motion presumes on tomorrow's calendar. As many as are in favor of holding Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 101 over till tomorrow's calendar, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Let's take a roll call. The question is, shall committee substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 101 be held over until tomorrow's calendar? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk may take the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? The clerk may take the roll.
Fifteen yeas, 21 nays, 4 excused.
The motion to hold over the resolution fails. Are you ready for the Mr. Swanson?
That one so-called fact, quote-unquote, cost us about, the round number is $116,000, and that gave us no answers to anything. So I suppose for those of you who want a fiscal note on this bill, you can double that and come up with $232,000, and you may get two facts.
Yep. We'll have a roll call. Representative Rudd.
Excuse me, Mr. Speaker. I sent an amendment up. Is it too late to amend it or not?
No, this is a concurrent resolution, and we
you cannot amend,
and we do. We can amend in second reading. We also vote in second reading. I'm sorry, I didn't see your amendment. Will the clerk please read amendment number one?
Amendment number one by Mrs. Rudd. Page one, line 24. Delete and definite.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Objection is noted, Mrs. Rudd.
I believe, Mr. Speaker, that that is a typographical error. I suspect it should read "and definitive study," but whether it should read "and definitive" or "definite," I suspect that we don't really expect either a definitive or definite study. What we are expecting is a comprehensive study that is going to inform us of what our options are and what avenues are available to us. So therefore, I would suggest that we delete "and definite" or "and definitive," if that is the correct term. I did ask unanimous consent.
Is objection maintained? Hearing no objection, the amendment number one is adopted. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for Senate concurrent resolution number 101 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk may take the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Mr. Hackney? Does any other member wish to change his vote? The clerk may take the roll.
Twenty-four yeas, 11 nays, 5 excused.
So committee substitute for Senate concurrent resolution number 101 has passed the House. Will the clerk read the next item on today's calendar, the supplementary calendar?
House Concurrent Resolution Number 153 by the Rules Committee, relating to renovation of legislative space. I have one amendment on. My desk, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, read amendment number one.
Amendment number one by Mr. Urien, page one, lines 9 and 10. Delete the fourth floor of the state capitol. Insert Alaska Methodist University.
Urien.
I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Sorry about that, Mr. Urien. It would violate my one subject rule. Mr. Urien.
Mr. Speaker, I don't know exactly what we're talking about spending money on the fourth floor, but I heard numbers of $400,000 or $500,000, and I think for probably maybe not that much money, we can renovate several of the rooms at the AMU facility and have a place that this legislature could meet next session and sort of be in sort of an interim capital on its way to Plains North.
The question for us is adoption of amendment number one. As many in favor say aye.
Aye.
Many opposed say no.
No.
The nays have it just hands down. Madam Clerk, do we have further amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Yeah. Mr. Gardner?
Mr. Speaker, one thing on this resolution, I guess I'd be speaking really to the legislative council members who will probably be involved in the planning of this. One thing that has bothered me about every time they remodel something in this building is they take all the marble out of the building, which I kind of like. And I would hope that in the efforts to remodel that they don't have to take all the marble out. I don't think a lot of the sheetrock and what have you that they put up is near as nice or durable as the marble. And hope at least somebody would raise that issue at a council meeting.
Mr. Gardner, I hope your prayer will be spread on the record. I couldn't agree more, even if I'm not supposed to comment.
Sure.
Mr. Hackney?
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I would suggest that probably Mr. Gardner is not the first member of the public to say that this legislature is losing its marble.
It's getting awfully late. The question before the body, is there more debate? The question before the body is House Concurrent Resolution number 153. As many as are in favor of the resolution, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay.
No.
Considering the microphones that were on, the ayes have it. That brings us down to the end of the calendar.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Peck.
I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration on Senate Concurrent Resolution number 101 and would ask that the Finance Committee might have some kind of fiscal note on that one.
Your reconsideration is noted, and I notice the Finance Chairman is nodding yes. Mr. Urien?
I would like to serve a notice of reconsideration on House Concurrent Resolution number 153.
You're right. Reconsideration is noted. This brings us down to unfinished business. Is there unfinished business to come before the body? Mr. Malone?
Mr. Speaker, question. On the list of bills under reconsideration today, what is the status of Senate Bill number 600, which failed the House, I think, yesterday?
We passed. Perhaps you were about briefly out of chamber. That bill did pass. Is there further business to come before the body under unfinished business? Mr. Specking?
A word of encouragement, and that we will be able to get with these free conference committees, which there are numerous ones outstanding. I know it's of concern to all of us. Certainly, if any of us are forewarned, we're willing to work even later if need be in order to resolve any of these problems. I don't know about our contemporaries down the hall, but we're certainly anxious to get them wound up.
Yeah, Mr. Minority Leader, I was going to ask, as a matter of fact, that all chairmen of free conference committees, if they would, leave just a note sometime between 8 and 10 tomorrow morning with the Speaker's secretary, indicating the status of your free conference committee, whether it's, you know, stalled, moving, things going along all right, or what. I think the Speaker would find the information useful. Is there anything more under unfinished business? Special orders? Mr. Swanson?
Speaker, I'd like to report to the body about a lost study. Last year, this group, this body passed a resolution that was authored by Mr. Gardner, Mr. Eliason, and Mr. Hogan, I believe, and I don't recall the number of it, but it had to do with directing legislative affairs, or directing Budget and Audit Committee to do a study on a marine repair facility. A study was some $30,000 was spent in public money, Mr. Speaker, was spent for a study. That study was available in an office in this building early in February. Here we are almost in June, and almost no one in this body has ever seen that study. I think the problem is, Mr. Speaker, that that study showed put one southeastern community by the name of Ketchikan in a little more favorable light than it did one of our western communities by the name of Kodiak as far as the location of the facility. And I think it's unfortunate that a committee chairman would use his power to withhold a study that was funded by public funds and asked for by this body.
Mr. Urien, I would not even begin to respond. I'll just will notice that the chairman is not in the gallery, right, or not in the chambers right now, and I imagine has no knowledge of your rising to speak on this subject. So I would presume that if that no response is indicated whatsoever at this time. If you have a question, I suggest you take it up with him. Mr. Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, before we adjourn, I'd like to note that some 18 days ago, I noted the body that we had been tied for the fourth longest session. Mr. Speaker, I'd just like to note today that we are tied for the third longest session.
We'll have a pause while somebody says, so what? Mr. Speaker. Mr. Urien.
I can assure you the taxpayers aren't saying, so what?
Mr. Gardner, were you rising? No. Do it. We're still under special orders. Mr. Gardner?
I was going to move to adjourn.
I hope somebody, perhaps there's committee announcements first, Mr. Gardner. Are there committee announcements? Mr. Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that we stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Tomorrow morning.
Hearing no objection, so ordered.